out there in podcast land, and welcome back to Spoilers, your movie review podcast, where your hosts have lots of opinions but zero credentials. I am your host, Hollywood, joined by my three regular ass mates, Adam, Maestro, and Cowboy. Introduce yourselves, boys.
Ho, ho, ho!
Hee, hee, hee!
You're all getting coal.
I'm Cowboy.
Adam.
I'm Maestro.
And this week, it's still the month of December, so we decided to do another bad Christmas movie. We're doing the infamous Reindeer Games, starring our new Batman, Ben Affleck.
That means he's really famous, right? El Guapo?
No, this movie's famous for being a dud, a bomb.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh.
2000's Reindeer Games, directed by John Frankenheimer, his last movie. He's sort of a legend. Starring Ben Affleck, Charlize Theron, Gary Sinise, and the man, Farina, Dennis Farina. Let me give you a brief synopsis of Reindeer Games. We'll jump into it. After assuming his dead cellmate's identity, get with his girlfriend, an ex-con finds himself the reluctant participant in a casino heist. Have you guys ever seen Reindeer Games before?
Yes. Come on, that's not even a casino. That's like a tiny warehouse that's made to be a casino.
It is pretty small for a casino, now that you mention it.
It doesn't even look like one. It looks like a business. It looks like a building, like for a business, just put like right
did
next
they,
to the
did road. They film this in City of Industry?
No. Funny, but no.
Probably Canada. That's where they shoot all movies.
It could have been like a Spearmint Rhino, now that you mention it. The size
just
of it.
Just throw some slot machines.
You know, I wouldn't put it past it. That makes sense. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What's this Spearmint Rhino you're talking about?
I don't know. I saw it in a movie once.
What, Spearmint Rhino?
Yeah.
Did you ever see this movie?
I did. I saw it as a child. I remember liking it. Not as a child, I guess. It came out in, what, 2000?
Yeah.
I saw it around 2000.
Well, yeah, you were underage.
Well, I was on a Gary Sinise kick because I had just finished seeing Imposter, which was a movie he was in, which was I thought was amazing. So I was like, oh, Gary Sinise, he's in this one too? Got it. Watch it. I remember enjoying it. Now I watch it again.
It's no Bruce Willis.
No, he's no Bruce Willis. He looks weird. He looks weird.
Yeah, he looks really weird in this one.
Yeah. It's like he should be Jesus or something. He's got a Jesus look to him, but like rebellious Jesus. Also like a Frenchman.
More like
a
Jesus Jesus.
Like he would be good in like a Musketeer movie with his look.
Yeah. I never saw this until I was forced to watch this.
You're welcome.
It was quite the experience. I like Ben Affleck.
Okay.
But I don't like this era's Ben Affleck. Like Paycheck, Daredevil. I don't like this era's Ben Affleck.
I think Paycheck was okay, except for Uma Thurman, which I don't like Uma Thurman, probably because I also don't like most Tarantino movies.
And Two-Face was in it.
Two-Face? Eckhart. Wait, it was in what?
The guy who, in Paycheck.
Oh, yeah.
He was his buddy.
That's
the
right.
The one who hires him.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Right?
Yeah, but what was the other one you said he did?
Daredevil?
Yeah. That,
great idea. Nifty take on things from comic to movie, but I feel like the action sequences, the bad guy, the entire premise, the plot was just like really lackluster. The creation of the character I thought was cool though.
I did like the Daredevil take, mostly because that's my first experience with Daredevil. So like I had nothing to judge it on, but I hated Bullseye. That to me ruined the movie. That the
bullseye cut into his forehead.
Yeah, and he was all crazy with the eyes, like, oh yeah, look at my bullseye on my face. I never miss.
And he's rubbing it like a clit.
Yeah, it's so fucking weird.
Yeah.
He's like, and then at one point he misses it, and he's like freaked out. I never miss. And he's like, he's distraught.
Yeah.
All right, stupid. It's like Colin Farrell. Colin Farrell. Yeah, I don't like him either.
He played an all right character in SWAT.
That was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fine.
I said all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine.
Do you guys like Ben Affleck? Everybody hates on Affleck.
I don't mind him. I think I don't expect anything from him. This is what it comes down to. He's an actor, regular actor. He's not like a De Niro or a Nicholson. He's not on that level. He's an actor. He's playing a part. Fine. It's not spectacular. I don't walk out of the theater being like, that was great. He did amazing. No, it's just like, it was a movie.
Hell of a director though. He did The Town. He did Argo. He did
Town was okay.
Gone Baby Gone.
Okay.
Check those out.
Yeah, Argo was fine.
If you think about it this way, a lot of Ben Affleck's movies that everyone's talking about how they hate are from the earlier movies because he's still coming into a person of who he, a character of, or acting career of his own. So a lot of the stuff that he does do is still in, like, process.
I feel like his whole career is fighting Geely.
Geely?
Or Giggly. Or however.
Yeah, it's pronounced it's Geely.
Yeah, the Jennifer Lopez when he was dating her for a while. Yeah. I don't think I saw that one, but.
Good.
Oh, good? Okay.
It's bad.
Yeah, I feel like that's his whole career is trying to make up for that, I feel like.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Anyway.
Let's dive right in.
Sure.
Did this movie remind you of Die Hard, sort of? Because it sort of takes place on Christmas?
Not a chance.
And it's sort of an action movie?
Not a chance.
No way. Wow, that is a horrible comparison. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, seriously, the entire synopsis of this whole story is, like, really weird already. I feel like he does, like, in some parts he does a noir bit where he talks, like, mimes his, he talks about what he's thinking at the time. Mm-hmm. And it's just really out of place of the entire movie. I mean, like, yeah, I'm talking to myself and all of a sudden, it switches back to normal. I mean, usually for that kind of thing, like a film noir, you do that constantly. Because, like, it's a whole process that he goes through.
It's a style.
Exactly. But if he switches so many different styles of creating storytelling,
right,
then it's not gonna meld well. Oh, meld well. What's the word?
Mesh.
That's true.
That too.
I'll work with that too. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, first of all, you're trying to compare Bruce Willis to Ben Affleck.
No, you're doing. Bruce Willis is off the table. Bruce Willis is off the table.
I was just a little bit hampered by this by this movie. Sorry.
You weren't jumpered by it?
No, I wasn't jumpered. I was hampered.
Right. Fair enough.
No, I had nothing close to Die Hard feel for this. Not even a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, the comparison.
What about like an Ocean's 11 type?
No.
No.
This is trying to be a clever heist movie. Not even clever. It's just trying to be a heist movie. I like heist movies when they work.
I do too.
Think about this.
It didn't work.
No.
In the whole entire story, the main bad guys originally that everyone knows in the movie, through the most of it at least, didn't bring off the idea that they were actually clever. A lot of them sounded very stupid.
They were. Danny Trejo didn't have one bit where he was very smart about Christmas. He made this comment that was like,
"Oh, that's in my notes. Christmas too."
Yeah, Christmas. Yeah, he's like, "Turns out that 50% of the sales come from December 1st to December 25th. So a clever society would make a second holiday called Christmas too, maybe around June, mm-hmm. to maximize sales and boost the economy."
Mm-hmm.
And Sinise tells him, like, "You know, ever since you started going to night school, you've been really pissing me off." It's like the one time that anybody on that crew showed intelligence.
Yeah.
And then it was gone. He was like, he's a dumbass the rest of the movie.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, like, he does a couple of things. I mean, like, he's very silent through most of the movie. But some of the things that he does do, like, for instance, when Ben Affleck runs back into the hotel room, he's like, "Who's knocking on the doors?" Yeah. Like, the first thing that goes through his head.
Yeah.
And then, like, I don't even know what the hell's up with that other guy that keeps on talking about Santa's dwarves.
Like a crazy black dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like schizo, like throughout the whole movie. He was laughing for no reason a lot of the time.
He's always wearing a beanie and everything like that. And then once they take the beanie off, he has like this really giant, like, broccoli haircut.
Yeah.
It was like, this is his true form.
This is alfalfa gone south.
Yeah.
Not alfalfa, buckwheat. Damn it.
So basically the story.
So Samsonite,
right? So basically the story is he's an ex-con. He rooms with a cellmate of his that supposedly dies right before they leave.
No, he doesn't supposedly die. He gets shanked.
Okay, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I thought we were spoiling the movie.
You're led to believe that he dies.
All right.
Later on, first of all, the way he gets stabbed in prison is one stab into the side of his body.
Yes.
Which, I'm no doctor, but I feel like that's not enough to kill you within 2 minutes.
The only way it probably could do is if you puncture the lung and have him it bleed into it, so he suffocates. That's pretty much the only way.
Well, that would make sense why he had so much blood in his mouth.
Yeah, but you don't really exactly
it was uncalled for.
Exactly, but you don't really exactly see. You just see him get punched aside, then he curls up, so you don't really know exactly where he gets hit.
Yeah, but there's a lot of blood though.
Yeah, which means it usually means a punctured stomach or lung.
All right, it seemed like, all right, one stab and you're done.
It's quite possible.
I've seen enough prison movies to know if you're going to kill somebody in the joint, you have to stab them at least 300 times.
No, it's just because every
very
time...
Very quickly.
Talking Orange is the New Black, or...
Yeah, a bunch of stuff. It's just like stab. Like American Me or something.
Okay, blood in, blood out, yeah. Stuff, yeah.
But the first thing about it is the shiv is so shiny and nice. You don't see shivs like that.
It looks like he went to the store and bought it.
Exactly.
It looks like the knife itself looks like a knife. Like shiny, silver, whatever else have you.
You got a switchblade out of commissary.
Exactly. I mean, usually shivs are made out. I've heard shivs being made out of like
brushes
and paper.
Yeah. Yeah. Plastic spoons.
Yeah. Or wire from the bed springs.
That's right. Underneath. Exactly.
No, this was like made by like Smith and Wesson. If they made knives, I don't know.
This is for you.
I know they make guns. I'm just assuming it's a weapon manufacturer. Exactly. Do you know who the big black guy who stabs Nick is?
No.
He's former NFL defensive end Dana Stubblefield.
Is it Bubba?
No.
It's Bubba look. That's racist, right?
Yeah, it's racist.
Well, Stubblefield. That's kind of Bubba-ish.
Not really.
Stubble.
Bubba from Forrest Gump is what I'm going for.
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah.
Bubba
Shrimp?
His initials are BBB. Bubba. Yeah.
Okay, so basically the story goes like this.
And it took forever. I'm sorry to cut you off. But this whole prison, like the setup for him to get out to meet Charlize Theron took fucking forever. That could have took 5 minutes. To 10 minutes.
Yeah, I know. I think the whole reason why is they're trying to set up the fact that the two guys are close and the
best friends, they call them.
Yeah, yes. Whatever. And then whatever. And then the whole idea about him is all the stories they talk about he's writing this girl and now they've never met and all that jazz. I know it's a giant setup, but like, I guess it's not like systematically done well.
It's necessary for them to build that whole thing in prison. The whole cell talks where they were talking about the letters going back and forth, that needed to be there. Some of the other stuff didn't need to. I did not like that they were broadcasting to everybody in the goddamn prison. I'm leaving in 2 days. I feel like you want
two more days, guy. Yeah. 2 more days.
You got to keep that close to the vest because then people are going to start shit with you because if you're leaving, fuck you, I'm still here. Oh, I'm going to fuck you too. So you go to solitary and you're stuck here for another year or something. No, they're just broadcasting everybody.
Yeah.
2 more days and I'm out. The guy gives him Jell-O and he starts fucking with him. It's like they give him this Jell-O slop who has stuff inside of it. Like, what's inside this Jell-O? Swallow, you'll find out. And he goes into like dick mode like, you know what? I want you to think about something. I'm going to be out of here in 2 days eating filet mignon and bisque, lobster bisque. You're going to be sitting here shoveling your same crappy shit. Like, all right. Good idea. Good idea, man.
And he looks so like sad when he gave him that. The old man who was giving him the jello. He was like, why would you tell me that? He looks so sad.
Yeah. The broadcasting way too much. They're getting out, which I feel like in prison, you do not want to do.
Yeah. You want to be like completely invisible.
Yes, exactly. But they're not. He's not.
Well, of course. Well, in the movie, he's trying to get himself shanked, like kind of, really, remember?
Yeah, well, we find out that's part of the setup later. Yeah.
Well, I know that's probably that error goes to the reason why he's doing what he's doing right now, to make it look more realistic. So that in a sense makes sense.
Yeah, well, I kind of felt like, good, fuck you for bragging about your 2 days. You got stabbed.
Yeah.
Up yours, dude.
Exactly. So, no, by doing that, he uses that whole like idea that people say, like, oh, well, he's been broadcasting for days. Then, you know what? Okay, it makes sense that he got shipped. Makes sense, you know?
Okay. I guess it makes sense. A little bit.
Okay.
I still think it's stupid.
Right. So basically, Ben Affleck's character gets out on the day he's supposed to.
First.
What?
Cameo. We have the baddest motherfucker of all time in prison.
Uh-huh.
Shaft. Shut your mouth. He's the guy.
Isaac Hayes.
He's the guy that discovers that this cockroach is in fucking Jell-O. Yeah. And he starts going mental. There's monsters in the Jell-O. And he's getting all crazy.
How does he still have the shades in prison? He still has the shades in prison.
There's no shades.
Shouldn't he have been the chef cooking all the food?
Oh, right? Oh, that would have been good.
I'll tell you what, children.
Yeah. Oh, God. I love the way they killed him off in South Park, by the way.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. They just made him a pedophile and all kinds of craziness.
I want to put my fingers in your Kyle.
Yeah.
I want to make love to the children.
Funny stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, he gets out.
Yeah, he gets out. And then he notices that the girl that his cellmate was talking to about is waiting for him.
Yeah.
So she's out there in the cold waiting for him. Everyone leaves and he's on the bus. He makes a choice to say that he's the cellmate instead because they never met. And it's some sort of weird, pen pal thing that they were talking about.
Right.
So they meet, go to a coffee shop, hit it off, have like a crazy sex and then somehow their life comes even more crazy when the supposed girlfriend's brother comes in with his crew and beats the crap out of him for a while.
Yeah. But before we get to that part, I want to ask you guys something.
Okay.
No?
Yes.
I feel like your answer would be yes, by the way, before I even ask. No. Cowboy. These guys were best friends in jail.
Yeah.
And one of the guys...
I'd shank his ass.
It's a fucking cockroach jellos. These guys were supposedly best friends in jail. And he has this pen pal relationship with Charlie Theron. And he's kind of like Ben Affleck is telling him, hey, so this girl that you're talking to, what if she's not who she says she is? What if she's ugly? What if these pictures are 10 years old?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's kind of a douchey thing for as a friend to do. Like, you're in prison. I have this one hope, this one thing on the outside. This hot chick wants me. Hey, it might be a dude, man. I mean, that's, I feel like that's a fucked up thing to do.
It's true, but it's 2 days till.
I'd still do it.
I know, but
I'd still say the same thing.
The question is, like, as far as friendship goes, I mean, it's our job to keep each other in check about reality.
Yeah. Exactly. But the whole point about it is reality is about to hit them in 2 days.
Right.
So his hopes and dreams is not keeping him alive in the prison. It's already over, pretty much.
Yeah, I guess timing is fine. But still, the guy's like saying, all right, so get past that. All right, maybe she's not who she says she is. All right, now, what if you step outside, she sees you for the first time, and you don't do it for her? I feel like it's a fucked up thing to do as a friend. Be like, all right, yeah, this, all your hopes and dreams, she's going to take one look at you, and she's out. Is that the kind of reality check that a friend should do at that point?
Are you about to say yes or no?
Come on, cowboy, what do you got? We're in jail together, all right? We're sharing a cell for 2 years. I'm writing this hot chick, and you see her pictures on my wall, and she's fucking hot. She's Charlize Theron hot.
She sees pictures of you?
Imagine her looking like Scarlett Johansson, basically.
So you got pictures of her?
Yes. No pictures of me, because I'm in prison. I don't have a camera. So we're writing to each other. She sends me pictures, because she can. I cannot send pictures out.
Yeah, you can't make any selfies.
Right.
I'd be writing her freaking letter saying, are you sure you want to fucking...
It's like it's a weird thing for... I mean...
I don't think I'd go there.
No, right?
But I definitely, I don't know, because you're such an attractive guy, Adam, you know? So,
right.
No, I mean, I wouldn't go there. I don't know. It's kind of touchy.
It's weird.
Unless, of course, Ben Affleck's character wanted to go for you instead.
Right. Well, if we were here, we're on the outside. We're not in prison. We could do that to each other. We'd bust balls. I mean, you met somebody online. What if you don't like you? But you're in prison. This is all your hopes on this one chick.
I honestly would probably come at you more like, why are you putting like all your hopes in that? What if it doesn't work? You got to have a backup plan. You got to have a plan B. Because what if you do get out there? Maybe, you know, hey, what if she's not really into you anymore?
Yeah.
Maybe she does meet you. What are you going to do? Go kill yourself?
Yeah. And what if later on in the conversation?
You got to have more hopes than that in life.
Yeah.
You're in fucking prison. All your hopes are what's happening.
You're getting out in 2 days.
Right.
Find something to have hope in.
This girl's
your hope should be getting out in 2 days, not getting out in 2 days.
Yeah, you have two hopes
now. And just this woman, if this woman doesn't work out, find the next hoe.
Right. I'm in prison for 2 years. I got a picture of a hot chick that I'm about to go out and have sex with. And you're telling me.
Hopefully.
Don't do that.
Hopefully.
Moderate yourself. Hopefully. Don't have hopes on that. I'm 2 years surrounded by dudes and Shaft. You're going to tell me don't put your hopes in Charlize Theron? Really?
Oh, I'd tell you to put more than your hopes in Charlize Theron, but I would probably have to say, don't get pissed off if you don't get anything more than hopes in her.
Okay, fine, but not. Hey, she's not gonna like you, dude. And she's fat, by the way. It's weird. It's a weird thing to do. All right, it's a problem in my head.
No, she's not. Maybe.
Right. What if she's exactly how she is, which she is? Score. Anyway,
and you're good.
Yeah, so they get out, or he gets out. Ben Affleck gets out.
Yep.
He's on the bus. He comes out to go meet Charlize Theron.
I think our trademark thing would probably, it would be more like, all right, dude, go get it.
Right, exactly.
Do what you got to do. Go get it, brother.
Right.
Don't be a fool. Wrap your tool.
First time having sex in 2 years. I mean, do what you want. That's bad advice, by the way, everybody.
Yeah. Well, that's what Ben Affleck does.
Right, yeah.
He doesn't wrap the tool. He straight up raw dogs Charlize Theron. And he's Rudy pretending to be Nick.
Right.
Yeah. We have to set that up now.
Yes.
Because it's brought up several times.
Yeah.
Several times. Sort of like an over the top. You must lose twice before you're eliminated. Right. Every like 5 minutes.
We got it.
I'm not Nick.
Yeah. Thank you, announcer. Yeah. So eventually they're in the room after they have a couple sessions going at it, I assume, which see Charlize Theron naked, which is nice.
Supposedly it's a, like great coitus, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Supposedly. And then they come back into the room and Gary Sinise is waiting there with his thugs and they beat the crap out of him and then take Charlize Theron like semi-hostage. And because Nick supposedly worked at a casino before he was in the joint.
As a guard,
security. So he knows all the ins and outs of security. And Charlize Theron's brother caught wind of this because he read the notes from Nick in prison and is like, all right, this guy works as security. That means he can be our in. We're going to rob that casino and he's going to help us.
See, this is where I don't understand. He said he's a truck driver for majority of his life and then he just got really fed up with it, right?
Well, gun running truck driver.
Whatever.
Yeah.
My point about it is this. If he's a gun toting like truck driver, how the hell is he going to find time to read all those notes at her sister's house?
Well, so from what I understood, it was a one-time thing. He found a bunch of letters one time, read them all, got the idea. It wasn't like he was opening her mail before her every single time, waiting at the mailbox. Ooh, Nick's going to write me. It was just one time he stumbled upon it and found all this information out, hatched the plan, told the sister, we're just going to talk to your boyfriend for a second. And then they end up roughhousing him and threatening him death, help us or you'll die type of thing.
Yeah.
And so on.
In that scene, there's a line by Gary Sinise. I wrote this down in my notes. All right. He tells him, he keeps telling Gary Sinise, I'm not Nick. I'm not Nick. And then Gary Sinise goes, don't fucking play reindeer games with me.
Right.
Yeah. And then it cuts away. What the fuck are reindeer games? I've never heard of that term before.
That's from Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer. Oh, they wouldn't let him play. They were playing the reindeer games, kind of keeping Rudolph out of the picture. That was the whole point of that.
Rudy.
So it's keeping you out of the loop.
Rudy. Holy shit.
That was in my trivia.
Oh, hey!
He's named Rudy.
After Rudolph.
After Rudolph. All right. Because this is a sort of Christmas.
Yeah. That's movie. The whole Christmas song from.
Oh, and that makes sense to Saint Nick.
Yes, yeah, so all of the other reindeers. You slap and call their names. They wouldn't let poor Rudolph.
You can't sing for crap.
Playing any reindeer games, yeah. So, like, keeping them out of the loop type of thing. That's what the whole premise is.
Okay.
So, and then after they're getting, like, hey, Nick, tell us your plan. Tell us everything about what you know about this casino thing. And he starts like, I'm not Nick. I don't know Nick. And this is a great moment when Gary Sinise is like, hold on. So you're telling me you're not the guy that my sister's been writing to for the past 2 years, but you're just wanted to have sex with her. And that's supposed to help you somehow. If I am the older brother and you're saying, I'm not the guy, I'm just trying to fuck your sister. I'm not going to be happy about that as the brother.
He wasn't.
No, he wasn't. And it was good. It was well played. He's like, no, I'm trying to save my own ass by saying, I'm just trying to fuck your sister. I'm not going to help you. I'm just fucking your sister. I'm going to kill you anyway. there's no way to win there. Yeah. So he's very emphatic about, I'm not Nick. I'm not Nick. I'm not Nick. Until the point where he's about to die. Like, yeah, okay.
What do you want
to
know?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'm Nick. Cool.
Yeah. Well, that's a given. I mean, like, most people would do that.
Right. But the problem that I had with that whole thing is that it's like instantly Ben Affleck grew a huge pair of balls. Like, to the point where he wants to call the shots now. First, he's like begging for his life and like pleading with them. No, no, no. And he's like, all right, fuck you. We're playing my way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like quick change. I mean, he's a car thief. He's not some sort of con artist.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Grinch's heart grew like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
In a matter of moments.
I guess. But I mean, for him to be able to now have these chops to convince this guy and talk this game and everything.
Yeah. It's called a switch, man.
Yeah. But I don't see that from a car thief. Like I said, if it was a con artist, some sort of white collar criminal. Yes.
Used to it? No, I think what happens is like basically it's like a part. It's a moment in a guy's life.
Fight or flight.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, where the adrenaline hits and then just go for it, you know, kind of thing.
Well, his adrenaline kicks up to the whole movie from that point forward then.
Of course.
He becomes a real hard dick.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, like...
Wow.
That was bad phrasing.
Wow.
That was real bad phrasing.
Whoa.
Would you say it's ripped for her pleasure, too?
Yeah. Oh, man. That's got to be a cut, dude. That has got to be a cut. Not cut from this. That's got to be a...
Right. No, it's a good uncut. Hello.
I mean, like... I mean, honestly, this entire episode so far, you said multiple innuendos for the word penis, really. I mean, all like, right. You said hard dick, you said shaft. What else did you say?
No, it's a character.
I don't know. Now he's getting into circumcision. Uncut.
Right.
Cut.
Oh!
You know?
All right. Yeah. Let's move on.
All right.
So they gave him the plans to the casino, and they're like, tell us about the cage. Tell us about the money pit. He goes, oh, no, they remodeled the place. Right. That's over here now. That's upstairs, and there's this. And they keep talking about, what's this name of the safe? The powwow safe.
Yeah, the powwow safe, right.
Powwow safe is that's where all the real money is.
Right.
The chief always puts extra money.
And he's making this all up on the fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what the thing about it is Hollywood is that the picture that they're showing him isn't really, it's like a third grader wrote it.
Yeah.
And it looks horrible.
These guys are practically third graders.
Yeah. Cause they never, you find out that they've never stolen anything. They've never robbed anything.
This is true. But Danny Trejo is taking like night school though. So.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. But it was Gary Sinise, the truck driver, that drew the map, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not Trejo.
Yeah.
If it was Trejo, it'd probably be better, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So at one point, this is another thing that really bothered me.
Before we go to the next scene, my favorite line from Affleck in the whole movie, or second favorite line, is when they go, all right, tell us about the plans. He goes, no, I want some motherfucking hot chocolate.
Yeah.
And they go, what? And some pecan pie.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to them sitting at a diner watching him eat pecan pie and drinking hot chocolate. And they're like, all right, Nick, tell us about that. He's like, no, I'm not done.
Yeah, wait. He gives them the whole, like, stare at the hand or talk to the hand thing. I'm not done eating yet.
And then Sinise tries to talk again. He goes, do you think I can get some ribs? And Trejo just, bam, just smacks across the face.
Right. Yeah. Which, by the way, was a very fake punch.
Yes.
It was like, we're like, all right, you totally missed.
Yeah.
But now he's bleeding from the nose.
Yay.
That's cool. Machete doesn't miss.
Yeah. Yeah. So they start talking about things and Affleck comes up with a good plan about, no, I don't, this remodeled it. I've been in for 2 years. I don't know the plans anymore. And they buy into it and they have to do some recon mission. But before that, he's being very resistant to helping out because he doesn't want to. He's not Nick.
Yeah, I know, but like, honestly, to tell you the truth, I mean, like, he goes back and forth so many times, it just bores the crap out of me.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if he's all gung ho 1 second and then he's like, no, no, he's like back and forth. I just like, you know what? I don't care anymore. I really don't. I mean, like, look, you just put him in a room and just like take care of the business and then just be done with it all. You know?
Well, the thing that bothered me is the way that Charlize Theron got him to start helping in the first place was, she told him something to the effect of, look, you did all this for me and I spent my whole time waiting for you. And if it wasn't for this, then what did you do this all for? Like, it was a very well-played guilt trip, which was meant for Rudy, not meant for Nick.
That's true.
The way she phrased it was she knew, and this is like, it's foreshadowing, because later on you find out that she knew the whole time that this guy was Rudy, not Nick.
Mm-hmm.
The guilt trip she laid on him was meant for Rudy. Saying like, it's like, you're calling me a liar? And she kind of, in a way, says, you're also lying. But in a way that's like, hidden,
yeah,
to make him feel like, fuck, you're right, I'm a bitch too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he starts going along with it.
Yeah,
it's like, it's just, it felt like the wording was too perfect that it was meant to play on Rudy, not on Nick.
Yeah,
if that was actually Nick, that wouldn't have worked.
Now think about it this way: if you actually watched it for the first time, you actually wouldn't notice that, because what she was trying to do is just trying to, she was trying multiple ways to get him to do something, and finally one that actually clicked. So people accept that as in just finally something that works.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, even if I didn't know at the end that it was, that she knew the whole time, they would have been like, that was a weird choice of words. Like, what'd you do this all for? You did this all for a heist or you did this all for me? Like, what? It was very weird.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense to me.
All right.
That's all.
Okay.
Moving on.
Next section.
So they're going to do recon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. And they dress him up like a cowboy.
Yeah.
Going to Indian casino.
Right. Yeah. But the thing about that also was weird is you got this crew of misfits. They drive up to the casino and they're in the parking lot with him. They get out of the car and there's like five guys in the parking lot now kind of pushing this guy to go inside. I'm pretty sure they have security cameras watching the parking lot.
Yeah.
If you see a car pull up, a bunch of guys get out, one guy walks in, everybody's kind of like just being very, it's looked very suspicious. This is something you do a couple blocks away and have him drive in alone. You don't have a bunch of suspicious looking characters in the parking lot hanging out.
But then it's also like, I don't know, like 12 below zero and super snowy. I don't think, and the casino itself is doing horribly.
That's true.
So I don't.
There's a scene where what's the main guy's name? Avi.
Oh, Dennis Farina. Dennis Farina gets introduced. He's hired. He was hired as a consultant for the casino by the chief, by the tribe.
Right.
And he's a big Vegas guy. He's like an old school Vegas casino guy. And he constantly references, I can't go back to Vegas.
Yeah,
I can't go back to Vegas.
Yeah.
They introduce, they introduce him into the mix and, I wrote down his line. He goes, you know what's out here? High quality snow. SN fucking OW. I love Dennis Farina.
Yeah. And he's being very racist to the chief, like in front of his face. Like, put this under your feather cap. Right? Just, like, little comments like that, like, wow, these guys are your employers.
Walking.
That's right. Walking there. I understand. But it's very much those like little comments that if I was your boss and you're saying that to me and I'm Indian, dude, all right, what the hell?
And he talks about how he approved the casino. He goes, did you know your buffet now serves Coke and Pepsi? Can you find another fucking buffet in the world that does it? You can't, because I'm the only one that does it. And then Affleck goes in to get a rum and Coke, and right. the guy says, rum and Coke or rum and Pepsi? That was a cute little,
and it was like,
that was a cute little
like,
bit.
He's really? Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, who cares? Just put some sort of dark liquid in my rum.
It's better.
I can't name another buffet, but most AMPMs serve Coke and Pepsi.
Yeah.
Right, right. But, yeah, they don't have gambling and powwow saves.
They do in Vegas.
Is that right? Well, that's true. They have machines and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, right. So good.
But I don't think they have powwow saves.
No.
They probably have a safe.
But not powwow.
Right.
No, they don't have a Batman safe.
No.
Pow.
Wow. Yeah.
Hey. Zap. No, all right. Anyway, so they go to the casino.
Yep.
Go to Maestro.
Okay. They go to the casino, and Ben Affleck's character decides to do a little bit of scouting around, seeing what's going on. And then he notices there's this guy that's going into the bathroom, and he basically takes his opportunity to go inside and take all of his money that he has and trade clothes with him.
Well, because he has the same kind of goatee that he has on.
Yeah.
So it's facially similar.
Yeah.
So that's why he targets him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically what happens is the henchmen kind of figure out that something's up and head to the bathroom to stop him from doing something.
Yeah, this is the time where the crazy black dude that's all schizo finds out that the casino was not remodeled.
Freaking Santa's dwarves, man. What?
Yeah, what did he say to Santa's dwarves? It was his repeated line, which made no sense.
Guess what, Santa's dwarves got you.
Yeah. So he goes into the bathroom to confront him, and he runs into the decoy.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is Ashton Kutcher.
Yes.
That's which I found funny because they punked the other guys into thinking of somebody else.
That's right.
See? Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah. Foreshadow of his career.
Right. Yeah, that's how the whole idea for punk started, by the way.
Reindeer Games.
Reindeer Games.
So horrible.
Oh, boy.
Adam is coming up with his own trivia.
That's right.
So basically, Ben Affleck a chance to leave or like hightail it out of there while the confusion ensues. And they're able to chase him down towards a lake. Some sort that's frozen over.
Yeah, they're running away, and he goes into the forest, which eventually ends up in a frozen over lake.
Yeah,
yeah. But there's a scene where this is supposedly where Ben Affleck starts believing Charlize Theron is genuine in her motives to actually love him and not trying to fuck him over. Which up to this point, Ben Affleck is under the suspicion that she had this whole thing planned out, and you're just some bitch trying to fuck over my friend, which is actually me. So that's weird. So he takes that very personally, but at the point where he's about to get shot by Gary Sinise, Charlize Theron tackles him and they roll down a hill. At which point Ben Affleck gets a gun and only uses the butt of it to knock out Gary Sinise.
It's such a spiring.
Instead of killing this fool that's trying to kill you and your love of your life. End of the movie, right there. Boom. Dead. That's right after the sunset. Yeah. Credits roll. Yeah. No, he runs away with his shotgun onto this frozen lake.
Yeah.
And it's just.
And Sinise, I already know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
Sinise fires at them and, the lake cracks open.
Right.
And Charlize Theron falls in.
Right.
Affleck's like, shit. So he jumps in to chase after her.
Right.
I'm no doctor, but I think the second you hit that water, you go into shock or something happens to your system because the camera goes underwater and Charlene's like pounding hard against the top of the ice and Affleck's just swimming after her trying to get her. I'm like, your body's not reacting to the instant cold that just hit you.
He reacts as soon as he gets out of it, where he can't talk anymore.
Where he's like, get out of here.
Yeah.
I don't even think he actually says anything remotely close to get out of here. Yeah. It's more along like,
it's more like a ding, 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 ding.
What does Ben Affleck say?
Also, from underneath the water, he's firing a shotgun, which I also feel like would seize up.
Yeah.
Most
it's so
guns,
cold
most guns can't fire underwater. There's like one, maybe two, like a Glock, I think, fires underwater. I'm pretty
sure
a shotgun.
This is like freezing temperature on top of that.
Yeah.
Did we just say no and then yet?
Yeah. It would be like a bullet in Mario when you got hit with the little snowball. It would, you know, freeze and block.
Yeah.
And
a little fireball takes a bullet out of mid-flight and drops it instantaneously. Yeah.
Exactly.
No.
Was I also
jumping on it.
Yeah.
Was that your turnoff point, Adam, the frozen lake, or was it way before that?
You know what? This one I don't think had a turn off point.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
It kept me intrigued enough that I wanted to see what was happening, even though I was like already.
Did it feel like a movie?
No. This one drew me in. This one did draw me in.
Really?
Yeah.
I felt like I was just done as soon as they started arguing about after the bat scene where they beat up Ben Affleck and then they start arguing in the hotel room. I'm like, you know what? This is taking forever. I mean, like, if they're going to get something out of this, they should have done this a while ago. And then they just keep on going on and on and on. And I'm just like, okay, I'm done.
I don't know. I felt like I bought in enough that I'm like, I got to see how it ends now.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet you that's the... Oh, are you sure? I think it's because of the sex scene. You think it'll happen again? Is that why?
He was hoping.
Yeah.
It might have been some hope that Charlize Theron gets naked again. That may be possible.
Well, she did.
Kind of. Yeah, she got topless.
In the jacuzzi or in the pool or whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's when you find out that...
They're not
spoiler
brothers.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
They're not siblings.
Yeah, right?
Dun, dun, dun. They're boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yes.
And she was playing them this whole time. But the scene before that I love is Affleck's recovering from being in the frozen water.
Yeah.
So he's shivering just. And Sinise has a dartboard and he goes, whoever gets closest to the center gets whatever they want. If you get to the center, you take my sister and you get out of here. You live the rest of your life forever.
Yeah.
If I get close to the center, then we go forward with the plat. So Sadis he intentionally aims off the board and hits the wall.
It's like a good 10 feet off.
Yeah. The so Affleck is there shaking and he's,
And
he drops
a pathetic drop.
And then the scene where Sadis hits him with the.
he starts throwing darts at him.
He throws darts. It looks so fake.
Yeah.
And Affleck's reaction, it's like he's in a horror movie, gets stabbed. It's like,
Well, there was also a brief moment in there when he goes from shivering cold to wide awake.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then right back to shivering cold again.
Yeah.
He's like shivering. His eyes are rolling in the back of his head. And then all of a sudden, the first arc gets started and he's like, what the fuck, dude? What the fuck? He's like awake. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And then all of a sudden back into frozen mode again.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Ding,
ding, ding, ding. Yeah. He started ding, dinging.
See, there's another reference right there.
Right?
I didn't say ding dong.
Oh, they just
ding
did.
Dong. Ding dong.
Just did.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyway. So they continue on with the plan and they're going on with all their stuff.
Yes.
And their whole cover, the way they're getting into the casino now, is they're dressing up as Santa Clauses.
Yes.
From different department stores. So there's five Santa Clauses. One's from like Macy's, one's from JCPenney's or whatever. Yeah. Whatever the stores are made up in this show. And that's how their whole cover is. They're going to go in as Santa Clauses. With our sacks. Acres. Oh, boy. I got to watch my words right, you guys.
Wouldn't casinos make them take their beards off so they can see their
sacks?
So they're not like blacklisted gamblers or something?
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and this is an Indian casino, not in Vegas. So they don't have probably the facial recognition software. Yeah, but still, going, even like for Halloween, you can't walk into an AMPM with a mask on.
No.
Yeah, I would assume casinos have more security than AMPM.
And more strict.
Yeah, more strict. You can't walk in with a beard and keep your beard on the entire time.
Yeah, but like, I guess what they said earlier in the letters that Ben Affleck was reading.
Yeah.
That, they just drank the whole night.
Yeah.
So I guess the whole thing about it was this casino.
It's a normal occurrence.
It's a normal occurrence. They don't really know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your boy Farina had a great line. Because they're watching all these Santas come in.
Right.
And then the security guard's like, hey, do you think this department store Santas have a union? And Farina's pouring vodka. He's like, who fucking knows?
He just doesn't care. He hates his life.
Because he can't go back to Vegas.
Yeah. Can't go back to Vegas.
He does that so many times. Even like during his like so far beat up. Like,
oh, when they beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
With the safe.
Yeah. So eventually they get in there and they start distracting and guns start firing and everything goes into chaos.
Yeah.
You know what? Did you see like, I think it was 3,000 miles to Graceland?
Yes. What about
with Kurt Russell?
Elvis impersonator?
Yes. There was also an Elvis casino heist now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. With Kevin Costner and.
Yeah.
And Kurt Russell.
Yeah. Was it Kurt Russell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It is. It's him.
Yeah.
3,000 miles to Graceland, right?
Yeah.
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 So it's a similar, similar movie. Way better. That one's way better.
That one is better.
Yeah.
That one is much better.
Wasn't Kevin Costner like the one in the black suit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Russell was in the white.
Yeah.
Who was like the Elvis diehard guy? Was that Costner? I think he was like a diehard.
Oh, that was Russell.
Oh, it was
because Kurt Russell played Elvis in a movie by John Carpenter.
Okay.
Did They Live? Made an Elvis movie, and Kurt Russell was Elvis. And Kurt Russell did the voice of Elvis in Forrest Gump. Remember, he's dancing, and his mom's like, oh, Forrest, leave him alone. And he goes, no, ma'am, it's all good. That's Kurt Russell's voice.
Ah, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Anyway, Reindeer yeah. Games.
All right. Right. Reindeer Games. Yeah. So the guns start firing off, and everything goes crazy. And Ben Affleck has told them that he's made up plans for the whole thing. Go down this hallway, go down this hallway. In the back safe, there's guards with no guns.
Oh, there's no guns in the count room.
Right, in the count room. Turns out there's guns.
They fucking blow that guy away. Really and the black guy just snaps. There's no motherfucking guns in that count room. And he takes his beard off.
Right. And then Charlize Theron busts in with her car to knock out the cops. They would have stopped the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how she knew the cops were standing in that place at the time.
Exactly.
When she blew through. Why did she even blow through? I mean, firing guns is part of the plan, I assume. I hear gun firing. Oh, I'm getting in there. Lookout. Stay on the street.
Well, maybe that's what she was doing. She was looking at the cops kind of walking in and saw them in the glass.
Okay. All right, damn it. That makes sense. Yeah. So they get in there. They get to the safe or the room where
Farina's at.
It's like a bad joke just about to happen. Five Santa Claus walk into a casino.
Right. Only two walk out? I don't know. Anyway, so they get to that room. And the boss, they're talking to the boss. Hey, remember your boy Nick? He's like, yeah, where is he? That's not him. It's not him. And it clicks in everybody's head. We got fucked. You got fucked from the beginning, bro. But, I mean, he told you from the very first thing, I am not Nick.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he's not Nick. What? You lied to us? It's very like, oh, all right. Yes, he lied.
And then Sinise is so insistent on seeing the powwow save. So
they had like a cool $1 million at least, maybe even multiple millions. It could have got out of there. No, I want the powwow safe.
Yeah.
More millions.
Sinise pulls the bar and he sees a safe. He's like, open it. And then Affleck tells the powwow safe. And then Farina just pulls out these guns and pow, 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 pow,
yeah.
pow, pow. Guess that's code.
Pow.
Wow.
Yeah. And then like Uzi's coming out, nailing everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's his name? Avi. I don't know his real name.
Oh, Farina.
Dennis Farina. He was like on the verge of death a second ago. I think those Uzis had like extra stamina.
And his right eye bonuses. Is like almost closed for being hit. And he's hitting perfect shots. Bah, 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 bah.
Well, I don't know about perfect shots. I mean, he did it like the first time he got the two.
Yeah, he killed two guys.
Yeah, with the spray.
Right.
And then after that, he didn't hit shit.
And he's shooting at the friggin' ceiling most of the time also. Yeah.
I mean, like, look. Like,
all right, retract this.
Yeah, the Santa. Yeah, exactly. Lieutenant Dan and his girlfriend jump off into the casino, and he can't shoot anything after that.
Yeah, and he picks up their AK and starts shooting at them.
Yeah.
It gets nuts, and then they ride off into the dark, and they semi-escape, I guess, with Ben Affleck in tow. They got him in the back of the car, and they're celebrating. Yeah, it was the wrong guy. We still nailed it. Woo, we're awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Continue.
Okay. So, they get out, they get with all the money and everything like that. Ben Affleck is back in cuffs or some sort of weird, like, duct tape. And then, I don't even think it's duct tape. I think it's a belt. I think it's like a Santa Claus belt.
Probably.
Yeah.
The jolly belt. Yeah.
So he's in the back of the truck. They're hightailing it out of there. They pass all the cops, but they have no idea to stop anybody on the process, just trying to get the casino. Yeah.
It's just a tanker truck.
Right? So.
Or big rig.
So the big rig pulls up next to some sort of weird, scenery cliff where, there's like a mile drop into like rocks and ice. And, what they're planning on doing is they're going to use Ben Affleck's body in a Santa suit, make it look like he was the last guy that lost traction in the car. And with the money, which they plant a little bit extra on him to go over the cliff and die. So no one's looking for those two.
Right. Five Santas go in.
Five Santas.
They need five Santa bodies.
Yeah.
So that's the whole point of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is the point where we discover that Charlize Theron was playing not only Nick, but her brother boyfriend
Sinise. Person.
Yeah, he's playing Sinise. Because she makes a wrong choice of words, which always fucks everybody up. I don't know how he caught it. I feel like there's too much going on.
She said Rudy?
Yeah. No. She said something about your friend died trying to save you.
She also said Rudy.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're like, how did you know that?
Yeah. And Ben Affleck's like, well, how did she know? Hey, Gary, How does she know? I didn't say stab. I didn't say stab. I said died.
Yeah.
I didn't say it. Gary, look at him. Look at her. Look at her. Gary, come on. and she's like, ah, fuck. And she's like, fucking man. And then shoots Gary Sinise, which has been after like, ah, what? He's like so confused. Doesn't know what's going on. Even though I think he put it together before he did, but now he's confused by it.
He's like, huh, I didn't think he would shoot her. She would shoot him. I didn't think that.
Yeah. And then from around the truck, whistling a happy song,
comes Nick.
Which should have died from that one stab wound, which I said it should not kill somebody. He survives.
Exactly. So what happens is he did get shivved, but he got shivved in the intestine area, like you thought.
Okay.
And then he put a little, like, capsule that he made from weird food coloring and stuff to make it look like blood.
Yeah. Convincing. I thought he was bleeding for no reason out of his mouth.
Yeah. Well, like, it made sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So this is the... Okay. There's a line here...
Just work through it.
...that happens... Every single movie of this kind, there's this one phrase that upsets me where they put Ben Affleck behind the wheel of a car. They're going to drive him over the cliff.
Yes, I know what line that
is. Yeah, and he breaks through because he has a knife and he cuts through. And as he's getting loose and he's about to get rolled down the hill, he starts the car.
And then he says, never mess with a Sicilian when death is on the line.
Inconceivable.
No. I don't think you think that word means what you think. Oh,
no. No, but he says, he shouts this out. Rule one, never put a car thief behind the wheel of a car. And then he backs up the car and then kills the real Nick and then drives Charlize Theron off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
That whole rule one thing, it really bothers me when people say that.
Rule one or the...
No, rule one is this. Like, rule one in anything. Rule one in pickpocketing. Never use your thumb or like a bunch of stuff like that. Uh-huh. Rule one is this. Rule one.
It was acceptable in Zombieland.
Well, that was a series of rules.
Yes.
Fine. Great. Series of rules.
This is the only rule.
This is the whole class is to not put a car thief behind the wheel of a car. It's not rule one. It's fuck you. You fucked up. But before they do this whole thing, in typical criminal style, the real Nick spills the entire plan of how we got here. Like, oh, the whole time I was playing you, I knew you would do this. Just fucking shoot the dude.
Yeah.
If there's somebody...
Can't shoot him.
All the villains...
Can't shoot him.
Okay, it doesn't matter. All the villains and of all kind describing the plan is bullshit.
Yeah.
Kill the guy. If you need to say the plan, say it to yourself. Talk to some random stranger about some...
Well, think about this way. If you get away with something so, like, ingenious, at least in your mind, you want to tell people that you can. That
before you kill him? What satisfaction is that?
Well, because you want to see the shock on his face, the expression that he's going to get before he dies.
By the way, another reason why these guys are horrible friends. In the beginning, I was telling you about how bad friends they are about busting each other's balls about this chick. He set up his best friend to fuck his girlfriend, which was already fucking somebody else. What is happening?
So he set up his best friend to fuck the girl that he was riding, who had a boyfriend on the outside who was fucking her.
Right.
And he was eventually going to get out to fuck her. She's a freaking whore.
Yeah. Yeah. Nailed it. she's a bad person.
See, the only thing that she says to in her eyes that's redeeming is, I never screw the guy.
The wrong guy.
I always screw the right guy, basically.
Yeah. That was one of the things Ben Affleck said. When they found out that he was not Nick, he was Rudy. He's like, story of your life, you fucked the wrong guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And later on, by the way, I never fucked the wrong guy. She fucked two wrong guys in the movie, by the way. So, I don't know. All right.
Were they wrong at the time, though?
No, I guess they weren't.
They could have been Mr. Right, but Mr. Right now.
Right. A lot of bad.
Yep. Okay. That's the end of the movie.
End of the movie. He ends up taking the money. He's walking around, distributing the money to other people.
Yeah, Rudy. Yeah, he ends up distributing the money to the people of his town that he came home to.
Right.
Yeah.
Except in this case, it's not viewed as weird as in Breaking Bad when Jesse was distributing money to people. It was like, what the fuck? This guy's crazy. No, this is Santa Claus delivering money now.
Yeah, because no one actually was there looking at Santa Claus. He was just walking in.
All right. True.
Yeah.
Final thoughts?
I'm sad because I remember liking this movie and now I don't.
Well, I think you've been jaded. I mean, like, you have seen so many more better movies. That now you're looking at this, you see all the mistakes
I've
seen
made. A lot of more better movies. It's
yeah.
True.
Yeah, but I could always go back and watch The Last Dragon and like that movie.
Oh, Bruce Leroy, yeah.
Show enough.
Kiss the cum.
You are the last dragon, Leroy.
You know what?
Is this worth watching?
I would say I think it is worth watching.
I'd say it'd be definitely worth watching for Christmas.
Nah, just in general.
I mean, come on, there's not many good Christmas movies. There's not many good Christmas
movies. Well, because I had a lot of conflicting emotions about Affleck. At the beginning of the movie, I thought he was doing a good job of acting.
And then,
until he became an instant hard ass, and I was like, right. Then I was out.
Yeah, well, I understand that.
I didn't believe the character anymore.
Fair enough. Well, I'm just saying, like, just the whole idea about him using Rudolph and Rudy and Nick and Saint Nick was pretty decent.
Oh, I had to make the Saint Nick connection.
Oh, yeah?
True, man.
All right.
Mm. Yeah. What about you? You think it's worth watching Hollywood?
It's okay. Check it out.
The way I see
if
it,
you want. Check it out if you want like a good laugh, because there's some funny scenes. Like,
yeah,
that dart scene. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
this was the first time I saw this movie. When I saw that dart scene, I had to rewind it and watch it again. That shit was so fucking funny, and it's supposed to be like a dramatic piece of the movie that really like.
No, you know what would be really perfect for that is if like halfway through he's like come on right afterwards.
Well, there was a stupid line like that where the first time he's throwing the darts, it's like surrounding his head.
Yeah.
And then Ben was like, oh no, stop trying to hit me, or don't try to start hitting me. He's like, I have been trying to hit you. And then he starts nailing him, and they're like, all right. It was like stupid. Like, line shouldn't have been.
Say
there.
That one more time.
Stop trying to hit me, or something.
And then?
And he says, I was trying to hit you.
And then?
And then he starts throwing the darts.
Oh, he changed the words. Okay.
What did I say? The dick reference? Did I make a little dick reference?
Yeah, you did.
Jesus Christ.
Rotten Tomatoes. It's part of the show where I make the guys guess the Rotten Tomatoes score.
All right.
What do you want to do first? Audience or critics?
The critics first.
Okay. What do you think the critics thought?
I'll give it a 63.
Damn, I was going to say 62.
Oh.
62.
Oh. Strategic.
40.
Oh.
It's 25.
Oh,
wow.
It's rotten.
25? Damn.
Told you, the infamous dud.
Yeah,
I didn't know it was infamous dud.
Yeah, well, the thing about is this whole movie, the major bad guys are complete idiots.
Well.
Except for Danny Trejo.
Right, and opposed to when bad guys are
usually choice
smart.
Or darts.
I mean, yeah, that's the most brutal moment of the entire movie is him shooting darts in the guy's body.
No, he shot an old man in the river for no reason. Yeah.
What do you say?
No, I have a taste.
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. I don't know. It makes no sense. But
there's a witness, dude, on the lake when it was frozen over. When Ben was and he's trying to tell him to run away.
Yeah.
He shoots the guy, and the guy's like, I have a family, I have kids.
I have a hunger.
Yeah, oh, there you go. Yeah. I have a hunger.
What the hell does that mean? What for what? For killing old people?
So for ice fishing? I don't know. But the thing about it is you don't see him actually shoot the guy because he shoots through the doors. So he's just
he walks in and then he stands over him.
And he shoots the ice around.
Yeah. Yeah. So he didn't actually kill him, but he did shoot him.
He did shoot him, but he didn't actually aim at him, is what I'm saying.
If he was trying to cover evidence, there was still a lot of blood left over the cabin.
Yeah, it could have been a shark that ate him. No.
Shark?
Or
Lake
a sharknado.
Placid? Lake Placid?
Oh,
flew in. Audience. What do you think the audience thought of
it? At this time, I believe there are a lot of Ben Affleck fans. I would say this is at least around a 50.
I'll go 41.
Shut up! I was going to say 42.
What?
Shut
your mouth.
No, I was going to say 42. Seriously.
I think it's 42.
What's your audience?
Audience?
It's 42.
You're sticking with 42. It's hard.
All right.
I was going to say 42, so I'll say 42.
I said 41.
I'll say...
And you said 50.
I'll say 50 black. 50 red. Yeah, red. Yeah.
Okay. It's 28%.
Oh, you
audience hates it too.
Yeah, I got this one too. I got this one right.
You got this one too?
One
two? Tonight, the first one.
Yeah, all right.
Well, you heard our opinions. We have lots of them, but we don't have credentials. Now it's time to hear from people who actually have credentials.
Did you find any good ones?
I found one good one.
Oh,
and I don't even know if it's considered a good one.
Oh, no.
Nah, that sounds about right.
All right, we'll do the good one first. Jeffrey Anderson of Combustible Celluloid says, Affleck makes reindeer games fun, and Frankenheimer gives it class, clarity, and energy. Yeah, I guess that is.
Celluloid?
So, combustible celluloid. It's probably some blog.
Right.
Celluloid. I mean, I know it's close to cellulite, but celluloid?
Yeah, it doesn't sound attractive.
No.
Bad reviews. Michael Wilmington of the Chicago Tribune. It's a heist without a plan, a crime without a brain, a thriller without a decent script.
Yep.
Tor Thorson of Real, REEL. .com.
Oh.
Watching reindeer games is the equivalent of doubling down in blackjack and losing. It's fun at first, then your hopes go up, but you walk away feeling frustrated and cheated.
I agree. That makes sense. Yes, beautiful. That's true. Yes.
This one is from Roger Ebert, Chicago Sun-Times. I love this bad review. I wish I'd had a stopwatch to clock how many minutes are spent while one character holds a gun to another character's head in gaps.
Yeah, they do spend a lot of time just like pointing a gun at each other. That's it. Yeah.
Trivia. Vin Diesel was originally cast in an unspecified role, but he made so many demands regarding his character that director John Frankenheimer fired him before production got underway.
Oh, good for him.
What would he be?
Probably one of the.
This was around the Fast and Furious time. So.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm sure he's glad he got fired.
Yeah,
and he made Triple X instead.
Maybe Trio. Maybe he was supposed to be Trio.
Trio. No,
only one that makes sense.
Well, are you sure? I mean, like, they had a couple other guys.
He could be the crazy black dude.
Why not?
Yeah. And he couldn't be the nerdy white dude. Gary Sinise? No. No, he couldn't be the brother. Ooh, maybe.
Nick?
Makes sense. He was the brother in Fast and Furious.
He could have been Nick.
Okay. Oh, that would fit in with his Fast and Furious character, killing a guy with a fire iron.
Or he could be the guy that just shanks him instead.
Right. All right.
Shaft,
he was going to eat. Oh, there's creatures in Jello.
I mentioned it earlier, Dana Stubblefield, the former NFL player.
Right.
He was the one who stabbed Nick.
Right.
There's a scene, Dana Stubblefield, ran into Ben Affleck and he accidentally knocked him down so hard that he caused a concussion for Ben Affleck. Filming had to be halted while Affleck recovered.
Wow.
And, this is John Frankenheimer's last feature length film. He previously directed The Manchurian Candidate, which is considered one of the best movies ever.
The original?
No, the original.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the real one.
Okay. With the Murder, She Wrote lady.
All right.
Yeah.
And Frank Sinatra.
Ooh.
He did Ronin, a sort of okay movie with De Niro. And The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Really?
With Brando. Wow. Want to hear some stats?
Okay. Let's get some stats.
This is part of the show where I bring us some stats of the movie. We want to put this film into perspective with other more successful films that were released that year. So we can kind of get a feel how well financially it held up to its peers.
Yeah.
This movie cost $42 million to make.
Okay.
$42 million.
I can understand some parts because all the graphics and stuff that they put in there.
By the way, that's half as much as Four Christmases about.
Yes.
I know.
And this is an action movie.
Yep. Yes.
Takes place in a casino.
Yeah.
Not in some
and
houses.
They had to factor in the weather.
Yeah.
And all right. Snow and stuff. How much money do you think it made?
SNOW.
How much money do you think this movie made off a $42 million budget?
Oh, I think I made more than that $42 million for sure.
I'll go with $100 million.
Ooh, okay. Look at you with a big three.
Little doubling up.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it tripled and broke even.
Okay. All right. Like $120 million?
Yeah.
So you're at 100, you're 120. I'm going to go for
$1.
That's not fair. All right. 150.
23 million.
Wow.
It didn't even, what?
23.
Holy hell.
23. Michael Jordan, 23 million.
So
I told you it's the infamous dud.
Oh, I should have put that into account.
So,
holy hell.
Wow. So it made no money.
They owe money.
It owes money.
They owe us viewers money for watching this. Is that how it comes down?
This movie debuted in third place on its opening weekend, February 25th, 2000. The number one movie that weekend was The Whole Nine Yards.
Oh, shocking. Bruce Willis on top. What?
One last stat. In the year 2000, this was the 92nd highest grossing movie of the year 2000. 92nd.
Right. 92nd. That's not saying much.
Right, hold on. About how many movies come out in a year?
Theatrically?
Yeah.
From the U.S.?
Yeah.
Maybe 150.
Okay. So out of 150, this is 91.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then there's a lot of movies only shown in theaters.
Like that, so. Yeah. Right. On average, let's say 120 to 150. Yeah, somewhere in that ballpark.
So it's not super duddy.
It's just duddy stupid. Mm.
It just.
What was the bottom grossing movie?
Oh, that'd be good to add. Okay. I'll add that for
next time. Let's do that.
Top five of that year in 2000.
All right.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Jim Carrey's.
Oh, that was Grinch, number one?
$260 million.
Interesting.
Castaway, $233
million. Wow.
Below the Grinch?
Wow.
Mission Impossible.
Grinch!
Mission Impossible 2, $215
million. Oh, okay. Two, fine.
Gladiator, which actually won Best Picture that year, $187 million.
All these below the Grinch?
And What Women Want? That one gets $182 billion.
The one with
that actually was kind of fun to watch.
That was fun.
I enjoyed watching that one.
So are you telling me that people like watching something like The Grinch over some really good
but
movies?
But there's lots of kids movies make lots of money.
Yeah, because parents got to take the kids to watch it.
And then there's more than one ticket for each movie. Okay, that makes sense.
All right. So for every one person would watch like Reindeer Games, there's like 3 to 4 because the family.
Yeah.
Husband, wife. Well, not in the society. Husband and daughter.
Husband, you mean dad and daughter?
Father and daughter.
Hey, father and daughter.
I am my own grandpa.
What? That's what I meant to say. Man and daughter. That's what I,
father and daughter.
Right, yeah.
Man and daughter. Man and somebody's daughter.
Wow. Or you could just say elder and child.
See, that sounds creepy.
Yeah, it does. But
father and daughter, girlfriend and...
Oh, yeah, right. Father, daughter, girlfriend, whatever. Or girlfriend's even babysitter.
Okay, there was 374 movies released in the year 2000, but like more than half of them are small indie runs.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
So let's just use my number, about 150. The In Crowd, 5.2 million.
Oh, was that with the girl from Dawson's Creek?
I don't even know you're talking
Katie
about.
Katie Holmes?
I believe so, yes.
You mean Tom Cruise's ex-wife?
Right.
Yes.
So that year, the movie that she made was 150, and the movie that her ex-husband made was second or third.
Yes. Well, they weren't together at the time.
Right.
No. Yeah.
No.
All right. Well, let's talk about marrying up.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't care.
Yeah. You got to marry Stacey Jacks. That's a good move. All right.
Because I'm a cowboy.
All right. Rock of Ages, everybody. Watch it.
Next week, now that the holidays are over, next week we're going to be, we've done Willis.
Yep.
We've done Russell. We've done Stallone. We've done Schwarzenegger.
We also did Stallone again.
Yes, we did
again. We did Van Damme.
For the new years, we're starting fresh.
With Seagal. We'll be watching 1988's Above the Law. His first movie that he ever did.
Was that right?
Is Above the Law. Oh. We'll be watching that.
This is before he got fat.
We'll see, how...
Wait, okay, so this movie is what prompted future movies, is what we're learning.
Yes, yes. The reason Steven Seagal exists in our minds is because of Above the Law.
This cannot be good.
So, it's that's going to be our movie for next week. If you want to watch it, where can you watch it?
Go to Amazon.com if you want to buy it. Go to iTunes if you want to rent it. But before you do any of those things, go to our website first. We have banners on our website that you can click on. It does not cost you anything extra, but we get a little kickback. Helps support the show without spending any extra money.
And while you're on iTunes, leave us a positive review.
Yes, positive reviews.
It helps.
Right.
I would just ask for any review right now. That's what happens.
I guess. If you want to be negative and be an asshole about it, you can.
Okay, I already got like three like random names I can use for this.
Well, all right. Yeah, use your negative reviews powers.
Right.
Drop Maestro.
Thank you.
Well, that's it, guys. Until next time, this is Hollywood.
I'm Maestro.
I'm Cowboy.
I'm Adam. So follow me, y'all, cause this shit about to go. I'm doing 500, I'm out of control. But there's nowhere to go, and there's no way to slow. If I knew what I knew in the past, I would have been like that on your ass.